Turned it on. There. Hi. Sorry. Are you guys as full as I am from who I get to stand up? So this is going to work better for me. Let me just introduce myself. My name is Jen Stoddard. A lot of people think I'm saying I'm Jen's daughter. And they're like, who's Jen? I'm like, no, I'm Jen. Well, whose daughter are you? No, I'm Jen Stoddard. So, I mean, seriously, that's happened to me about 20 times in my life, up until as recently as the other day. And I'm killing you with that high-pitched sound. Can everybody hear that? I always wonder that. You know, because some people can't hear the high-pitched sound. Is that better? Okay, so I come from, I live in Vista, which is right by Oceanside, which is where I grew up. Woo, I got a woo! San Diego! Woo! And I want to thank you for welcoming me here today. I love young ladies. I love teaching the Word of God. I love the Bible. I love the Lord. And I love everything about today. I love that you're getting to just soak in how much the Lord loves you. And I'm going to pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for this time right now. And God, I pray for all of us to have ears to hear and eyes to see what it is that you would want for us to take away from this time, Lord. Just open our hearts to you and let your Spirit move freely through us and in us, Lord. Just thank you so much. Amen. Okay, so I have, Karen was describing me earlier, and she said I had three teenage kids. She's kind of right. But I have a son who's 20. He turned 20 yesterday, so he's no longer a teenager. And I know what you're thinking. First of all, you're thinking, what's with that noise? And second, you're thinking, there's no way she has three kids. I hear that all the time. I don't know what's wrong with this thing. I'm so sorry. It's not me? Okay. It's not me. Don't look at me like that. Stop looking at me like that. They said it's not me. Anyways, moving forward. Three kids. I have a son who's 20 and two daughters, one that's 18 and one that's going to be 15 next week. And so I'm right in the middle of all, you know, I was one of you guys not that long ago. I, like Morgan, got married very young. I was 18 years old when I got married, except I was already pregnant when I got married because I never went to a thing like this where some beautiful young woman of God was telling me things that you're learning today. But even though you hear those things, sometimes, you know, you make mistakes and not everybody fits into this mold of what a Christian is supposed to be. And I just want to tell you that I got saved when I was 5. I believe that I did because I had a neighbor who asked me if I wanted to accept Jesus into my heart. And I did, and I prayed that prayer. But I really literally believed that there was a little bitty man this big with a robe on living in my heart that was shaped exactly like this right in the middle of my chest. And after that, my parents weren't Christians. They got divorced a year later and moved on the opposite sides of the United States from each other. And the only thing I had was this Bible, not this one, but it was a Bible that was one of those hard ones placed by the Gideons in a hotel, and I believed that it was stolen. So I felt guilty that I had those Bibles. Now I know, coming to find out, that they're meant to be taken, but I always felt guilty if I ever even looked in there, but I was really drawn to the red words. Because, like, why are those a different color? They must be really important. And I always would just peek in there, and I had this longing to know who God was and who Jesus, this man that I asked to live in my heart. I always wondered, does he still live there? And, you know, I was at a church while I was pregnant. I went to church, and I listened to a message, and I accepted Jesus into my heart as my Savior and my Lord probably about 5 more times. Because when the pastor asked to raise our hands, I did. I raised my hand. But then he's like, if you raise your hand, stand up. But I didn't stand up because I was too afraid. So I never was sure if it counted. So I did it again and again and again. And I'm pretty sure I'm saved now. Pretty sure, because I asked like 5-6 times. No, but I just wanted to tell you this, that if you felt your heart pounding out of your chest earlier, when Morgan asked you to raise your hand in the quietness, and you had everybody's eyes were closed, but you were still afraid to raise your hand. The Lord saw your hand, even if it didn't go up. I just want you to know that, okay? If there's anybody in here that wanted to raise their hand and they were too afraid to make it go up, for the ones that were brave, awesome. But there, I know what that feels like, to be afraid. And if you're not sure, the Lord saw it anyways, okay? So I just wanted to start with that. And so let's just get into what our section right now is. We're going to talk about how to redefine who we are in Christ. We've covered realizing who God is, and that's always a good place to start with, always. When you pray, when you wake up in the morning, the very first thing, acknowledge who God is. Realize who God is. A good place to start. And then we recognize God's heart toward us. And now we're going to talk about how do we redefine who we are in Christ. First, I want to share some things with you that I found on the internet about what the world says the perfect woman is supposed to look like. Okay? And I'm just going to be real right now. This is really what men think. So sorry if your pure little filter is going to get, I'm not going to go too crazy, but I'm just going to tell you. I even filtered this a little bit because it was a little too much. But according to a recent poll of 66,000 men, their ideal female woman would have blonde hair, blue eyes, and a salary considerably less than their husband or their boyfriend. So they want you to be blonde, blue eyes, and not make as much money as them. That's interesting, isn't it? Some of you might qualify, so congratulations, perfect women in the room. another survey asked the men this question. Just define the perfect woman. This guy said, she would never lose her temper, even when I lose mine. That's not fair. Okay, another guy said, she would like watching football, cooking, drinking with my friends, but not sleeping with them, and give it up whenever I request, like the same music and movies that I do. Any woman who would do any of these things would qualify to be my future ex-wife. That guy. Okay, another guy said, one that gives it up whenever I want it. That guy. Another said, she has to be hot and good at making out and thin. Everybody roll your eyes with me. Okay. Another one said, skinny but big boobs and a nice bottom, kind to me, never lies, caters to every reasonable, at least he wants a reasonable demand I make, and is sexy, a good kisser, and also it's good if she's shorter than me. It shows my dominance. Okay, I'm going to skip the next one because I chose not. If you want to ask me later, I'll tell you what it says, but I'm not going to share it. Okay, and the last one says, another guy that wants big boobs, cooks, keeps the house tidy, washes the car weekly, has a twin sister, a rich father, lets me go out when I want, whenever I want, wherever I want, never looks at another man, and keeps her looks until she gets old. Really? Really, guy? Good luck with that. That's what I want to say to him. It's no wonder $10 billion was spent last year. Our economy is in a recession, you guys. $10 billion spent last year on plastic surgery. Most of that money was, of course, breast augmentation. And because we women, buy into what the world says we are supposed to look like, which is never going to happen. If you think that you're someday going to fit into this mold of being a perfect woman in the world's eyes, you will die trying, because it's always changing, for one thing, and it's impossible to achieve. But we don't care what the world thinks, do we? No. We're not going to care what the world thinks. We're going to see what the Lord thinks, how he defines us. And let me tell you this. I don't think there's anything wrong, obviously, with looking cute, wearing makeup, you know, doing your nails. And, you know, it's And then, you know, I know that people wonder, well, you know, what are we supposed to look like as Christian girls, as girls, you know? And there are some rules. I did a thing, a class on modesty one time, and if you're, you know, there are some things that you probably shouldn't be wearing. There are some shirts that are too low and some skirts that are too high, and there are, you know, those guidelines where you put your hands down and all this, and you put your thumb in the little crook of your neck right here, and if your shirt's below that, it's probably too short. That's a good rule. You know, if you want to do rules, that's cool. But where is your heart is what matters. Why do you want to dress that way, if you do, or if you know someone who does? You know, if you ever think that you need to wear clothes that are revealing to get a man's attention, what man are you attracting? Those guys. That guy that you're never really going to impress or please. He's never going to be satisfied. He's just, and you know what? The really sad thing is, even though you, if you respond to that and you dress according to a good, clear motivation or a motive of your heart, you know, he's just, there's plenty of other girls for him to look at that don't list that don't take this into consideration. And it, you know, you're wondering how dress like how you would want your husband to see other women, your future husband or your boyfriend. What do you want them to look at? Dress that way. Does that make sense to you? Is that a good rule? Okay. Is that okay? Because men are looking at women, and you know, somebody else's husband's going to be looking at you. Well, what do you want your future husband or boyfriend to be looking at? Dress that way. That's a good rule to me. You know, if you ever think, oh, I probably shouldn't be wearing that. Yeah, don't. Take it off. Wear something else. Forever, everybody can, you can go to Forever 21 and buy a really cute outfit for, you know, less than you can buy. I mean, you know, it's really, what's sad is that it's hard to choose. I know there's not much to choose from out there sometimes. I know that. But if you can find a cute outfit anywhere, it doesn't matter where you shop. Just do it. Just do it. Okay. Okay. Going off. Okay, I just wanted to say that. So, you know, there's one thing about being obsessed with looking good and never feeling like you're pretty enough or skinny enough or funny enough or sexy enough or whatever it is you're supposed to be. But then there's a whole other side of being obsessed, and that's being obsessed with hating yourself and hurting yourself and doing things to your body that because you just want to injure yourself because of some deep sad thing that's going on in your heart. But I'm not here to say that you shouldn't be doing that if you love God, because that's an issue that you obviously needs to be dealt with. But I will tell you this: I heard this one time, and it was mind blowing to me that self-pity is just pride inside out. It's pride inside out. You're still focused on yourself. And God hates pride. And why does God hate pride? Because it separates us from him. Because if all you're thinking about is yourself, and all your eyes are ever on is yourself, whether it's to be better or to the opposite, your eyes aren't on God if they're always on yourself. And that's why God hates pride, okay? So this world is Satan's territory. Satan hates you. He's the enemy of your soul, and he wants you to constantly be obsessed with striving for attention and affection, good or bad attention, it doesn't matter. But what's his strategy? Why? You know how to win a war? Find out what the enemy's strategy is and beat him to the punch. The enemy's strategy is that, like I said, you know, if your eyes are always on yourself, your eyes are not going to be on God, and you will stay in this rhythm of always, always striving and failing and striving and failing to be something you'll never be. But God sees you perfectly, perfectly, exactly as you are. There's nothing you have to do. And this is what you need to do is, if we're going to attempt to see ourselves the way God sees us, we need to pray for that, and he will show you. He will show you exactly what he thinks about you. And you know, it's like this. It's kind of like in those spy movies, you know, where, you know, there's just somebody just chilling in a cafe and they're just looking around and they put their sunglasses on. This little digital readout goes across the screen and it tells them that person right there, gun in their pocket, whatever, you know? I wish I could put glasses on and just read what God really sees about people. Do you ever see somebody walk by and you think, like, it could be a beautiful woman walking through the mall with her shopping bag and you're like, oh, she's just perfect. Look at her. I bet she's going to the spa or something. I bet she's going on a date with her perfect model boyfriend. And oh, I bet she drives a really cool car. And, you know, you put the glasses on, it's like, that's not her hair color. She's wearing Spanx. She doesn't have a boyfriend. You know, you know, she spends way too much time with her cat. You know, things like that. Like, if you only knew the truth, you know, like the magazines, TV, they're lies. No one really looks like that in person. No one. Have you guys seen that video of that girl with her? She's a pretty normal girl, and they put makeup on her and stuff, and then they start working on the Photoshop, and they enlarge her neck to be like 2 inches taller. Her eyes get this much bigger. You know, they make her face skinnier, and they do all this stuff, and she's not even the same person she started looking like. She was totally fine before, and then they tweak her face so much so that it's ridiculous. That's that. When you look at magazines, that's the worst thing you could possibly do, is fill your time looking at that junk, those lies. It's not true. It's not reality. And that's why these men think perfect women are supposed to be that, because those women are fake, that they don't exist. Okay? So do yourself a favor and spend more time on things that matter in a scope of eternity than this temporary life where nothing matters. Nothing. This is all, keep your eyes on the things above, you know, and not on things of the earth, because you're gonna get old. You're gonna have wrinkles. You will, you already probably have cellulite. It's just normal. Like, you know, it's, get over it. Build a bridge and get over it. Okay? It's going to happen. But do you know who I believe are the most gorgeous women in the world? Are the women who have been walking with the Lord for a long time. Women of God are beautiful. They have a glow. And there's just something about them. And if you want to keep your looks till you get old, live in the Word. Walk with the Lord. And you will be beautiful all your life. And, okay, so most things aren't what they appear. You know, don't just decide that when you see somebody, whether she is a beautiful woman walking through the mall or a girl with black hair and she has black lipstick on and a scowl on her face and, you know, walking fast toward you and you're afraid she's going to steal your purse, you know, and you're pretty sure she's got vodka-laced gummy bears in her backpack and, you know what I mean? And like, no. You know, she's probably hurrying to catch the bus to go visit her sick, dying grandma. And, you know, and in her backpack is a little gift she made for her little sister because she loves poetry and she's artistic. Like, you don't know. It's like, you don't know. And just pray for God's vision. Pray for secret, super spiritual spy glasses, that God would show you what you really are to him, because that's all that matters. It's his face you're going to see in heaven, not a bunch of gross boys who don't matter, or friends that don't really care what you wore yesterday. They don't care. They're worried about what they're wearing today. You know, how you, oh, you can't wear the same thing I wore to school this last year. I can't. I need all new clothes. Why? You know, what matters is that one day you're going to look into the eyes of your Savior face to face. We talked about in Exodus how Moses was with the Lord and, you know, he